Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And today I want to talk a little bit about productivity and about a specific productivity tool that I like and I'm really getting a lot out of. Productivity is an ongoing challenge for a lot of people. And if you have been with me for a while, you know it is especially a challenge for me. I am not one of those naturally productive kind of people. And we make a funny assumption sometimes. Maybe it's, you know, just something in our culture, that people who are organized or productive are less creative. But the more super creative people you know, the more you realize that actually highly creative, highly successful creative people are not disorganized. They usually have very strong systems in place, at least for their realm of expertise. So, you know, when it comes to their music or their art or their writing or their computer code or whatever it is, they're highly productive and they have very strong systems for that, you know, for that realm. And a few weeks ago, I wrote probably the world's longest post about what digital tools and toys are doing to our attention spans. Why I did that, I'm not sure. I think it was some kind of perverse irony on my part that led me to write, you know, probably the longest post I've written in the last year about short attention spans. And I wrote about some of the ways that we can fight to keep certain brain cells in this environment of distraction. And so today I want to touch on a creativity tool that I enjoy, partly because it's not a digital tool. It's a physical tool, it's an analog tool. And I think it's really beneficial to have some processes and some arenas in our life that are off of the keyboard and the screen. Now, I love digital things. I love my laptop. I love the age of information we live in. I love that I can do the New York Times crossword online. But I also think that we can widen our minds and we can become more intellectually resilient if we just mix a couple of analog practices in here and there. You are not a brain in a jar. You are a human being and you have a body and you have hands and you have eyes. And doing things in the real physical world is a habit that's worth cultivating. So today's process is a non-digital process. It's a simple two-part daily practice. It takes well under 10 minutes a day. And, you know, when you're getting started, it might take you a minute a day or 2 minutes a day. It is quick and it is simple, but it is a quite powerful tool for expanding the number of creative ideas that you have to work with and sharpening and refining your creative output. So to get started with this practice, we need some physical index cards, the kind of 3x5 cards you can pick up any office supply store, most grocery stores. I got inspired to play around with these by my friend Victoria LaBaume. She's over at rocktheroom.com. And she is a very high-end speaking coach. And I'm actually working on getting her over here for a couple of podcast episodes about communication and about becoming a more proficient communicator across all kinds of media, you know, from video to presentations to podcasts, anything really. So Victoria, or my friends, I'll call her V. V has a very simple and a very powerful system for outlining important communication, like a talk or, you know, a cornerstone piece of web content. and she uses index cards. And I've talked with her about this, about, you know, how her clients feel about working with 3x5 cards. And, you know, something very close to 100% of her clients balk at using these physical cards really for anything, for any purpose at all. But she always uses them and she always gets her clients to use them. In fact, she has worked with the executive team at Microsoft. And, you know, that's the company that invented PowerPoint. So she can talk them into using index cards. And those people really saw a benefit from it, then you and I should probably give it a try. So I am not going to outline V's system for putting a talk together with cards, because it's V's system and it belongs to her, and I'll let her decide what she wants to do with that. But I'm going to give you a variant that I came up with after going to one of her workshops. And this variant is specifically designed to improve your creativity and to improve the quality and quantity of your ideas. So these might be ideas for podcasts, for posts, for videos, business ideas, but they could be ideas for absolutely anything that matters to you, you know, from parenting to fitness to saving the planet. So I can already see your eyes rolling on the other side of this microphone, and I just want to talk first about a couple of benefits of these, you know, old school physical cards that you may not have thought about. This one, Victoria pointed out to me, and I have to say I see where she's coming from. Physical cards do not have the same, what we might call the D-bag factor. If you want to make a note about something, you are having a conversation with somebody, they say something really thoughtful, and you want to make a note about what they've just said, pulling out an index card and jotting a note with a pen or a pencil sends a totally different message than pulling out your phone. So when we are in physical proximity to other people and we pull our phone out, what we are conveying, even if that's not at all what we intend to convey, is that we're checking our email or we just started a game of dumb ways to die, because what the other person was saying was not holding our attention. Using your phone when you are face-to-face with another person is disrespectful. And you might think, well, my friends see it differently. Maybe I'm of a generation where that's okay. I would just suggest that you try not doing that for a while and watch people's reaction when you write something down physically instead of putting it into your device. Now, if you're 30 or under, they're probably going to look at you with something, you know, akin to amazement, but that's all right. Amazing your friends is not such a bad thing. So maybe controversial, but that's my first observation about writing on something physical, is I genuinely strongly believe it is less disrespectful than pulling out your phone when you're face-to-face with somebody. Another thing about physical cards is that they are distraction-free. So you're not going to get sucked into something that may or probably may not be a good use of your time. That's also why I use, most of the time, I just use a cheap physical kitchen timer to do focused work sessions. You may have heard of the Pomodoro method, which is working for 20 minutes at a time, 40 minutes at a time, and using a timer. I use the physical timer, the kind you just get in a kitchen store or the grocery store, because if I use my phone, all of a sudden I open myself up to all these other potential distractions, and those start to vie for my time. So physical cards don't give you anything, you know, yummy to go off and play with your brain. This third aspect is something that specifically applies to the way I'm going to talk about using the cards today. And that is that they give you a tangible open loop. And what I mean by that is when you write something on one of these cards and go through this practice I'm going to describe, you open a loop in your mind. You create an open loop about something that requires more thought. You kind of put your brain on notice that you would like to consider this idea for a little while, but it would be okay to background process it. Now, for me, if I clip something to Evernote, on the other hand, there is really a signal sent to my mind like, okay, this is handled. I've got it captured. I'm done. I'm going to move on. And a digital system, I like Evernote. A lot of people use different tools. They absolutely have their place. I rely heavily on mine. I'm not saying they're not good. But this practice I'm going to talk about today uses physical cards to open up possibilities. And some of those possibilities, when you go through later and process them for the day, are going to go on to, for example, what David Allen called a someday maybe list. So you make a choice. You're not going to work on them right now, but you park that idea for the future. But there are other options too. You put it on your calendar to look at in 90 days when you're not in the middle of a big project, you know, etc. And actually, if you turn the coin over, the other side of this is that they get ideas and thoughts and observations out of your working memory. So you're not saying, remember this, remember this, remember this. It's out. You don't have to hold on to it. So you can become very free and very present when you have a way to capture all of the things, important or unimportant, that float through your day. When you park those things and you know it will get reviewed before the end of the day. You probably have observed in your own life that keeping a lot of stuff in your head, or more commonly, trying to keep a lot of stuff in your head, causes a low-level background stress that a lot of times we don't even notice until we start to get rid of it. It taps a lot of energy, and it uses a lot of energy, mental energy, that we it's just basically squandered. So I mentioned a couple of times doing a review of the cards, and that is the second step of the process. So the first step of the practice, let's call it, is to capture anything on a card that drifts by, but especially any kind of a creative idea for a piece of content or a creative idea you could act on. But you can also capture anything at all, a quote, an observation, something you notice while you're people watching, a snatch of dialogue, anything at all you can capture on a card. And then to make this work, the second part of the practice is you make a daily habit to process the cards. Ideally, you will do this at a specified time. So I like to do it after dinner, before dinner would work as well. And I just want to emphasize right now, because I can feel you drifting away, that this is a very, very quick step. I am not talking about spending an hour processing your cards. I am not even talking about spending 20 minutes processing your cards. This is something that you should be able to do at first under a minute, maybe, you know. As you go forward and capture more ideas, it'll be 2 or 3 minutes. But it's not time intensive. It's not labor intensive. It's a quick, just flip through things and make some quick decisions. So you go through your little stack of cards, 1 card, 3 cards, 8 cards. Maybe you had an awesome day, you have 15 cards. And you give each one of them a moment of focused attention and make a decision. And then you enter the information or the idea into whatever system that you use for different things. And a lot of us will have a blend. We have some analog systems. Maybe you have a paper planner, but you use digital alarms to remind you of things. So I'll give you some examples. All right, today you came up with 9 cards that you just jotted anything at all down on. The first card, you decide this idea is not worth moving forward on. It doesn't really have any merit, and you just recycle the card. The second card is an interesting idea for a blog post. And so you go to your calendar and you schedule a time block in your calendar to work up that post. The third card is a quote. You came across a quote. And if you're me, I would rewrite that quote in the little book, what Ryan Holiday calls a commonplace book that I use to capture quotes. And of course, I remember to include the author, and I would include where that quote might be found if I know. So, you know, it was found in this work or it was found on this website. The fourth card is another post idea. And that one, I have a better idea how I want to approach it. So that one, I'm going to fire up my text document, or I could fire up Google Docs, and I'm going to put in a draft headline. I'm going to throw a couple of ideas about subheads, and I'm going to write a few sentences of an introductory paragraph. It's just getting started. It's just playing with a couple ideas because I have a couple of turns of phrase in mind that I want to flesh it out. The fifth card is a to-do item, and I just put that on my to-do list, or if you're a getting things done aficionado, my next action list. The sixth card I look at, I decide this is the stupidest idea ever, and I've made a physical box or one of those little index card holders, and I've labeled it terrible ideas, and I just drop the card in there because you never know. Sometimes terrible ideas are the seeds of something really interesting. but I'm going to forget about it for now. I'm going to put it in my terrible idea box. The seventh card, I'm going to pin to a corkboard that I have above my desk as part of a big creative project I'm planning. I'm planning a big keynote speech, and it was a really good idea for my speech, so I'm just going to tack it on up there. The eighth card, I'm going to enter into Scrivener. I'm working on a book, and this is would be a great idea for a book chapter. And the ninth card just makes me so cranky that I shred it. I just shred it. I'm feeling really intense about it, and I shred it. So these examples are just to kind of open you up to some possibilities. You can do anything you want to with this card. The card is temporary, and that's, for me, why this system is so effective for creative work. And then that quick processing decision time is where you take this fleeting idea, this ephemeral idea, and you decide whether or not to put it into your systems to take action on. And what those systems are totally up to you. So if you have a way to get your hands on some index cards, you can implement this today. You can just capture an idea and then, you know, before or after dinner, decide what to do with the idea. If you go on to create this as a true daily habit, then you're creating a two-step process for handling all of those things that fly into and through our brains throughout the day. You know, obligations, to-do items, creative ideas, intentions, hopes, dreams, resolutions, phone numbers, you know, all those things. Now, making this two-step process is a little tiny bit less convenient than just going straight to your phone or straight to your tablet and entering it into your whatever your system might be. And that just tiny point of inconvenience is actually part of the benefit of the process, because it schedules some time, some focused time for reflection to consider, does this actually make sense to do? Should I actually do this at all? Is this a priority? How could I approach this from a more creative direction? Is there somebody else who might be a better choice to work on this? So you create a little space between the inspiration and then the decision to take action. And in that space, you get a little bit of perspective so that you can move forward with a little bit better clarity. And sometimes the idea will develop a little bit of additional richness as you're moving through your day thinking about other things. And one of the things that I like about using the physical cards is you can play around with them and they don't feel so, you know, etched in stone. The whole point of the system is that you're meant to either recycle or shred or throw away the card when you've done processing it. And that's actually one of the reasons that Victoria doesn't plan her talks out directly in Keynote or directly in PowerPoint, because, you know, once you've created that placeholder slide, in a little way, we feel like, okay, that's handled. That's there, and it's a little harder to decide, I'm not in love with that. So when you have these physical cards, you can play with them, you can shuffle them, you can lay them all out on the ground, you can... if you're a visual person, you could use different colors for different kinds of things. You could use your totally favorite color for all of your content ideas. And that can be very powerful if you're a more visually oriented person. So on the topic of Victoria, a couple of weeks ago, I went to a workshop with her and I brought Jared Morris on our team with me. And we did a lot of playing around with cards all weekend. Jared's addicted to them like I am. So he's going to be an evangelist on cards as well. And we're going to be, you can look for us to talk up the cards. So if you want to get started on this, it is not complicated to try out. I would suggest, you know, maybe consider trying it for 30 days. And just see, are you getting more ideas? Are you getting more creative clarity? So, of course, you have to pick up some cards. If you swing over to pinkhairedmarketer.fm, I'll give you a link and you can certainly just Google it. I found a little spiral-bound set of perforated 3x5 cards. So that's easy to carry around, and you could just throw it in your back pocket, or you can throw it in your bag and then take them out, write them, and tear them off. So those are easy to carry around. Or even lower profile than that is you can just hold a couple of cards together with one of those really tiny binder clips. Then you want to implement a mini habit. So you want to capture one idea a day to an index card and then process that card at a specified time. So when I say mini habit, what I mean is that's your kind of bare minimum. I'm going to do this every day for 30 days. And if I do it, I'm going to give myself a high five. If you forget, some days you will forget, because when we're implementing habits, we forget. Then, you know, do it right before bed. You know, if you're just about to go to bed and you're like, oh, I didn't do my cards today, scribble an idea on a card, just any idea, something that came up during the day, and then put a note into your calendar for the next day that's called Think About X. So, of course, you can create as many cards as you want to. Maybe you'll have a day when you create 60 cards. You know, maybe you're going to be at a conference or a live event and you're getting a million ideas, and you're just going to end up with a stack of cards. But to satisfy that I did my habit today mini resolution, you're just going to need one. And I want to stress, if you're coming up blank, write something stupid on a card. You know, just write the words note to self and then come up with the dumbest idea you can manage. And then to satisfy the second part of the habit, you definitely want to schedule the daily review. It's a very fast task. As I said, you know, between 1 and 4 minutes, you ought to be able to cover it. You could, for most of these, if you're sitting at your laptop or whatever your primary device is, these cards will take between 5 seconds to process and maybe 40 or 50 seconds to process. So they're quick. You want to put an alarm for your review time into your calendar of whatever your device is. So, you know, your Gmail, or put an alarm on your phone, that kind of thing. So before too long, you're going to associate a certain time a day with that quick review of your cards, but you want to make it painless. If it's a trial, if it's a lot of work, you're going to find yourself sliding on it and doing, you know, a weekly review instead of a daily review. And you will find that that is not nearly as beneficial. But if you miss a day, that also doesn't mean you need to, you know, punch yourself in the head. You're going to miss a day or two. When we're starting habits, we always do. Just pick up the next day and keep going. So this system of capturing ideas and then scheduling a low-key practice of making a decision on those ideas that's separated is a super, super powerful way to increase the number of creative ideas you have for whatever your important projects are. You know, your blog, your podcast, your family life, managing your team, anything like that. So if you have that habit of capturing one idea, and then you pair that with the habit of processing one idea, it's going to blossom on its own. You don't have to push it any farther than that. You don't have to make a resolution to say, okay, next week I'm going to capture two ideas. Just keep it as one for as long as feels natural. And if you do any creative work in your daily life, and pretty much all of us do at this point, you will probably end up actually saving a lot of time when you come to do the thing that you do. Because such a big part of creative work is trying to get an idea rolling, trying to figure out, what am I going to work on? How am I going to work on it? This gives you all kinds of entry points to your projects. It lowers the friction to getting started. And for most people, that will make you, all by itself, just a lot more productive. So I want to talk about a couple of other options if you're just totally lying on the ground having a tantrum at the idea of cards, because some people are, you know, just not card people. I get it. I find that throwaway nature of the index cards to be psychologically useful, because it lets me play around with ideas that are dumb. You know, the freedom to have stupid ideas is one of the fundamental creative freedoms that allows for good work. But some of you are already using paper to capture ideas and things that happen through the day. When I gave a talk at HubSpot last year, I mentioned that the Moleskine, or the Moleskine, if you want to get terribly Italian about it, the Moleskine notebook is the book of our people. A lot of content creators carry around a little hardcover journal to jot things down in. So if you already have that habit, or you like that habit, or you want to restart that habit of capturing things in a moleskin, you could just tuck a couple of index cards into the envelope in the back, or you can do the work right there in the notebook. And as an aside, since apparently this is the office supplies edition of Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, I can give you some nicer options to moleskin. Moleskin has kind of terrible paper if you use fountain pens, which I do. So I'll give you a link to some very similar form factor notebooks that just have nicer paper and a few more bells and whistles without being overloaded. So I do keep a notebook where I keep all kinds of things. It doesn't work for this practice for me because I keep it on my physical desk and the index cards are light and portable, but maybe you carry your notebook around everywhere. So if I used a notebook for my idea captures, then I would start by writing something consistent at the top of a blank page, like idea capture or index card system or whatever, at the top of a blank page. And then I would use that page just the same way that I've outlined the index card process. Every time something came to me, I would write it down just as a list with a little bit of space in between. And then during my idea processing time, I would consider each idea. I would do whatever I needed to do with it, and then I would just cross it off. I would just cross it out. Now, for some people, if you write it in a notebook, that makes it, you know, quote unquote, official. And so you don't have that stupid idea freedom working for you. But other people are very, very accustomed to writing random ephemera in their notebooks, and that doesn't trip them up. So you can, you know, of course, you're going to start with whatever feels right to you. As I said, I like the cards because they're little and they're light, and they can travel with me without weighing me down. Now, some of you are listening to this and you're thinking, I'm going to totally do this process and I'm going to do the whole thing on my phone because I do not want to have to mess around with paper and pens and pencils and all these strange devices of a previous century. And a lot of us have terrible handwriting because we don't ever write anything by hand and we just don't have a habit of writing anything down. If you are physically able to write, I really recommend, and this is, again, this is a small practice, so you're not going to get cramps in your hands. It's not like doing 3 pages a day of free writing or something. But physical writing hits a different set of synapses. And in my opinion, one of the things that makes this work particularly well is you get that crossover between the physical practice and then the digital practice. And there's a crossover there that just for me is very creatively productive. So I highly encourage you to give it a try. Try it out for 30 days, see what happens. If you never ever physically write right now, you know, just know going in, it's going to feel a little odd and a little awkward. So just stick with the one card a day for a while until that feels good. Try and find a pen you like. Maybe you're going to use like one of those fancy markers they sell for adult coloring books. Pick up index cards in an awesome color that makes you happy. This just gives you that tiny motivational boost to get your new toys out and play with them. And that's what gives you the energy to get in the habit. If glitter or stickers or whatever it is kind of helps you get motivated, then try that out. And a good art store can totally entice you into, just going to a good art store might be enough to entice you to start this practice because there's so many fun things to make marks on paper with. And just as an aside, if you're not checking out Brian Clark's Further newsletter yet, I really enjoy it. I think Brian shares a lot of really interesting material. He shared a post written by Julia Roy on work hacks for your physical environment. So again, non-digital productivity hacks or tips. That article is on fastcompany.com. And again, I have a link for you in the show notes. You can always find the show notes or drop me a question or a comment at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. And you know I love your thoughts and your comments. So if you have any kind of analog tool or component or process for your own work, I would love to hear about it. Come drop me a comment and let me know what's on your mind. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Get out there, get some index cards, start playing around with this. I think that you might find, yourself surprised at some of the things that come up. That's it for today. Take care, and I'll see you next week.